Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 15 of the Film Club podcast. We are back for a consecutive week.
We are back. Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's been getting momentum. Mm-hmm. Our last few podcasts, so let's just keep it going. Yeah. All right.
So what's been going on with you?
Nothing much. Just been having good weeks, I guess. Just learning to be a lot happier, which is a lot easier when you have breakfast every day. You know, it is really difficult to make every morning to make sure you do anything before you do anything to fucking have breakfast. It's a lot more harder than I thought it would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
But it makes all the fucking difference in the fucking world. It really does. But yeah, no, I've been feeling great. Yourself, Jay?
Good. I don't know. I was going to talk about something, but I don't remember what it was.
What it had to pertain to?
I don't know.
Just some randomness? During the week?
Yeah. As far as breakfast goes, I try to eat breakfast every day.
Oh, yeah?
And again, I haven't been, I've been eating okay. Ever since I've, been working more. I feel like my eating habits have diminished.
Yeah, habits have been diminished, so you're starving yourself?
No,
I
just eat like I used to eat. I haven't been cooking for myself as much and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and then as we record the last podcast and, you know, other things, I had done the whole vegetarian thing before and I tried to do that again. But I haven't really attempted it yet.
You just can't go cold turkey.
Yeah, you can, but I just can't afford to go cold turkey. If I could afford it, it wouldn't be an issue, but I just can't afford it.
Well, if you do...
And it is very time-consuming at the same time.
Well, if you do, it definitely will take an extreme toll on your body.
I don't think so. I think if you could eat... Like I said, it costs too much money to eat the way that I want to eat. I don't think it's any different than someone who eats vegetarian gets any less nutrients than someone who eats meat or dairy or whatever. But... I mean, it's not cheap. It's really expensive, and I can't afford it.
It's not cheap to eat well, people. It's a lot cheaper to eat horribly.
No, it's well. It depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It actually is. Yeah. It costs more to eat healthier, I guess.
Well, then make sure you pick a lucrative career path.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so many other side things that you want to spend your money on.
Yeah.
I'm just wasting all my time and money on sustenance. It's sucks.
That's probably the best investment you can make, you know? If fucking invest in your body, right? You could do other things that you want to do, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Anyway, yeah, this episode is going to be centered on two movies. The first being Perks of Being a Wallflower, and then followed by a review of Beasts of the Southern Wild. I know it's an older film. Well, both of them are kind of older films that have been in theaters for a while. I believe one of them is about to come out on DVD pretty soon.
Southern, right?
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be talking about on this episode, followed by what we watched, which my list is incredibly short. I'm sure yours is a little bit longer than mine.
Nah, it's short.
Well, mine is one, so I'm sure yours is longer.
Mine is one more than yours.
So that's not bad.
All right. So,
you want to get into it right away?
Yeah.
All right. So starting off with The Perks of Being a Wallflower. You want me to start?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why I was really interested in seeing this movie. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know. I mean, I knew Emma Watson was in it, and I knew the kid that was in We Need to Talk About Kevin, which I haven't seen either.
Talk about Kevin?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the kid who was Percy Jackson?
No, the other kid. His gay friend.
Oh, okay.
So I knew they were in it, but outside of that, I didn't really know much about it. It came out, I heard it was getting some pretty good buzz, getting good reviews, and then I eventually got around to seeing it. We went to the cheap theater, not super cheap anymore, but...
Logan Square
Auditorium.
They fairly recently renovated, and it looks,
looks
awesome.
Yeah.
They include this whole sidebar, this whole side lounge area. Pretty awesome. I mean, and they still kept the whole, they made it even more retro than what it used to be.
Yeah. It was definitely awesome. I definitely like what they're doing at the theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think about that too much, but like the whole midnight shows, incredibly cool. Like every week they're always doing something cool where you could go see a late show of old movies.
Yeah.
In October I went to go see The Shining there. But you could tell they're doing that on the cheap because they run it off of Blu-ray. So you know they're making like...
Just like
which is actually good because the movie theater business probably doesn't do that well. I mean, isn't a lucrative business so much anymore as far as people going to the theaters.
Yeah.
Like ticket sales are down and everything. So it's good that they have something that doesn't cost a lot to do. And they clearly make a lot of money because when I went to see The Shining... Like, it was sold out. They had to add shows and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's all about presentation. And, I mean, that place has some pretty good vibes going there. So, that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, Percival Wallflower. Yeah. Percival Wallflower. I didn't know anything about this movie. I just know I've been watching what was in it. But, you know, you wanted to check it out. So, it's like, oh. You usually don't want to check out crappy movies, so it's like, okay.
I usually don't like wasting my time going to movie theaters, even though sometimes I feel like I do, but, yeah.
This movie was a pleasant, nice pleasant little surprise, I guess, you know, since we didn't know anything about it too much. Mm-hmm. It starts off from your average teenage high school experience fair.
Yeah.
And that was okay. I mean, I thought some of it was, you know, was cliche, and I was like, oh well, we've seen this all before. Why am I sitting here, you know, seeing this again? But like, you know, of course, you know, patience is a virtue.
Yeah.
And things definitely, the ball definitely snowballed, and it's not campy at all. It's It definitely has dark undertones.
Yeah.
But they definitely balance that really well with the joy of, like, I guess being involved in this circle of friends.
Yeah.
They're really a joy to, like, you know, take part in, like, what was going on with them, what were their stories and whatnot. The kid from... the Percy Jackson movie. Yeah. I actually didn't recognize him at first, and it's like
I never seen Percy Jackson.
Yeah, man. It's like he was horrible in that movie. But that's just I thought it was just a bad movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much all around. Mm-hmm. But he actually showed that he's capable of acting in this movie. And Emma Watson, I thought she'll just be okay, but she was actually pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the actors and the characters they were portraying were really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the same, like just how you started the movie to start off, and you know, there was a lot of movies like this. Like I felt like every year there's a movie, like some coming of age tale, and this one does start off pretty generically, and then you have the main kid, and I don't know you. I mean, I guess it would be a mean thing to say, but like when you look at someone and you just don't see like there's much going on with them, I guess visually, like they don't seem like they're going to be really an interesting person or if this is going to be a really interesting movie. But then where the movie takes those characters, where there's, like you said, these dark undertones, and there's so much more going on with these characters, which allows you to relate to them, even if you didn't experience anything like what they experienced in their lives, you're still able to connect to them as characters, and it just makes them really deep. And and then just the joy of hanging around with them.
Yeah.
Like, there was one, you know, there's plenty of parts of them just hanging out, doing things, and I found myself, like, with glee, like smiling at the screen, and I, like, noticed myself doing that. I'm like, oh, I'm having so much fun with these characters. The main kid's awesome. He reminds me of Michael a lot, our friend Michael.
Yeah?
Like, a lot. Like, I think he looks like him, and I feel like he acts like him in a way. Except
right,
Michael's more charming, but yeah, anyway.
So, let's get into the story a little bit. On purpose of being a wallflower, in a nutshell, what is it about?
It's just about a kid, you know, coming in, kid going to high school.
Freshman year.
Something happened to him where he was in a hospital or a mental institution or something like that. So you know there's something dark underneath that's kind of affects who he is.
Which is his family is definitely aware of, you know, definitely on edge.
Yeah, they're very cautious. They're always, you know, But he goes to high school and he's really worried because he's not really sure of who he is as a person. And it's just about meeting. He eventually meets another group of people who are kind of like outcasts, and they have their own set of issues, and he finds friendship in that. And I mean, that's what the movie's really about, friendship and what, how that could kind of make you, if you meet the people who you're, you know, kind of meant to be friends with, how that could bring you out of your shell and help you become the person that you need to be.
But the main character, what was his name?
I don't know. I'm getting bad like with names.
And yeah, me too.
But, like character names anyway.
Yeah. All right. I mean, so he is the proverbial wallflower. It's like, you know, he doesn't necessarily partake in group activities or whatnot, even though he wants to. Yeah. But like he's more comfortable, you know, just being the guy who's just observing everything, and he actually makes some, you know, pretty smart observation, which is why his friends, these group of kids, start to like him pretty quickly enough, because, you know, he makes some pretty cool remarks, smart remarks based on his observations. But I guess one of the parts that I really did enjoy is how they handled the issue of gay relationships in high school. And I thought they handled it not necessarily, I mean, yeah, it was definitely handled in a really realistic way, I thought. You know, I mean, you know, not trying to, you know, sugarcoat it or you know, buy into cliches or whatnot, stereotypes. You know, because you have this one of the friends that this kid befriends is a openly gay character.
Yeah,
I mean, he doesn't really talk about it, but you know, it's there.
Well, I mean, that's why I found his character refreshing, where he's not trying to keep it a secret. Like he is who he is.
Yeah,
and yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, and then you find out that he's actually in a relationship with another guy at school who's closeted, and like they're still able to maintain a functioning relationship, even though no one knows about it, or very few people know about it anyway, for good reason, and just how that escalates, you know, because I guess the climax or one of the climaxes of the film, that was really engaging, you know, where it's like I guess all these things happen where it's like the main kid, he's
well, it's like your typical movie where eventually characters kind of have a falling out, and then how they kind of come back together and resolve. I mean, it doesn't seem like like this again, you know. It doesn't seem generic in that way.
It definitely didn't seem generic at all. It was actually quite cool how it all came together, but I thought that was really refreshing, you know, and whatnot. And then, you know, after that, about two-thirds into the movie, not actually in the third act, you pretty much find out what the big dark secret was for the main character. And he ends up, I guess I shouldn't say too much, but I really did enjoy in his like moment of like, I guess when he breaks down, he's like, I'm just so sad for like everybody else, not for me, but for everybody else. Like he's just so tired of like seeing everybody hurt themselves for like just mundane, stupid reasons. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I definitely like how they uncover that information about his past and everything. I just love how the movie was about him finding these people and, you know, not really spoiling anything here, but he's a freshman and the people he meet are seniors, and so they're going to be on his way out, and you're kind of worried for him because he's not going to have that bond with them because they're going to be going away to college or whatnot. But how it's just the fact that he met them and that he was able to come into his own.
And then he helped them out too.
But then he's also later, when he does have to eventually deal with the problems of the past, it's because of that friendship that allowed him to come into his own, that he's able to talk about these problems, which is what he needs to do. He needs to talk about what happened to him in order to begin healing and to get over that. So I really like that. And then Emma Watson, I don't know, like, when you first see her, it's kind of like, I don't know, like, it's going to be that way for her and for all the Potter kids. Like, you're going to see them as those characters. So it's kind of weird when she first pops up, but she's great in the role.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like her so much as Hermione, but with Hermione and Potter, she had to play this character that was completely written in these stories, you know. And this movie felt like she had the ability to be herself more. And I think it made her a much better actor. She ended up coming off as a much better actress this time around because she just seems like a different person than Hermione. So
yeah, and even her character, as pretty as I mean, she's actually very beautiful, Emma Watson. But like she wasn't necessarily this sweet, wholesome character in the movie. She actually had a pretty dark history too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess how you want to view it. Well, yeah. I guess it's dark because she seems sort of like ashamed of it or whatever, more or less. But so that was cool to see her in a more serious role and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it was just, like we said, it was just really cool to see these characters, their journey, in high school. And like at the end of the year, when the seniors, they're celebrating the last day of school. It's like you're celebrating with them. It was pretty awesome. Like I really enjoyed that. Like they're counting down in the hallways, and then they fucking went to the bleachers, sunset and whatnot. But yeah, it was really cool. Then the movie talked a lot about music. Good music, quote unquote. Good music,
yeah.
You know, and it's
which
like,
is a big connection that the characters seem to have. Anyway, yeah. Emma Watson and the main kid. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you enjoy any particular
piece? Like scene wise? I like the Secret Santa part where he was giving like all these thoughtful gifts to everybody. Like I don't know.
I was talking about music though. Any songs?
Oh no. I mean I like their song selections. I'm not off the top of my head. I can't think of like artists or anything like that.
I mean, it seems like it's a pretty great soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I think for anybody who is really passionate about finding good music, this is definitely.
Yeah, there's a guy I work with at Sur La Table, and like whenever we, I mean, I open there, so we do stock. So we always have a few hours where the store's not open yet, and he's always playing his music, and he has a pretty like wide range of interest, I guess, regarding music. I mean, a lot of the stuff he plays it's stuff that I know that I like as well. But then he plays a lot of classic rock. So I mean, you know, there's music that people have loved for a very long time, and that music is good for a reason.
Yeah.
And I definitely think I need to be exploring music's history more so, because there's so much good out there, and it's classic for a reason. You know?
Yeah, I always feel like I should talk to Alex and Laura more more about music and less about Adventure Time, because they definitely seem with it as far as the music scene is concerned.
Yeah,
but so one of the main songs that this movie explores on is there's a song that they keep referring to as the tunnel song, because there's actually there's a significant scene in the movie where the main character falls in love with Emma Watson's character, and it's a pretty magnificent scene where they're driving the back of a pickup truck through a tunnel, and there's a song playing, and they weren't aware of the name of the song, but then you found out at the end it was a David Bowie song called Heroes. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pretty good song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, have you heard of it before this?
No, I hadn't.
Well, I don't know if I appreciate any David Bowie stuff.
I think I downloaded like a best of David Bowie, but I only listened to it like once. But yeah.
Nothing stuck with you?
Well, I don't know. I just listened to it once, so I mean, I didn't give it enough of a chance, I guess. I know we had talked about this after the movie had ended the other day, like about the high school experience. Like that's, I mean, I think that type of high school experience exists. You know, where you have all these different cliques, and
yeah,
it seems like more of a suburban thing. I mean, we grew up in the city, so like high school wasn't that for me.
Yeah,
and I always, you know, I always had this romanticized version, like growing up watching movies like Can't Hardly Wait and stuff like that, of what high school was going to be like, and it was nothing like that, and I was mad it was nothing like that.
But yeah, where are the cliques?
I wanted that like typical experience, and I never got that. But I definitely think it's not something just movies do. I think it definitely exists in the world or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
but we just didn't have that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't witness that too much. I mean, like, I just felt like a lot of us just were able to go in and out different groups, you know. So it was like, yeah, wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say on Perks?
Let me know. I mean, I just really enjoyed, not so much, I mean, the love story was great and everything. I mean, I wouldn't really call it love story, I guess, but I just loved everything that had to do with him and his group of friends, which is what the movie is about. And
yeah, it was really good.
For me, that was where,
yeah, the movie was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was glad that I went out and saw it. So, I don't know. Are you ready to give it a rating?
Yeah. What did I give it? I'm trying to be consistent here because I gave it a rating online.
You gave it 4.5, I think.
4.5 out of 5. That's my rating.
5.
5.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet.
Sweet. All right. So next up is Beast of the Southern Wild. I know Rudy was a huge fan of this movie a while back, so I'll let you start.
Beast of the Southern Wild, the little movie that could. All right, so it's about.
Do you remember it pretty well?
Yeah,
I know you've seen it a few times. Yeah,
it's about this little girl named Hush Puppy growing up. This place called the Bathtub off the coast of
New Orleans.
Yeah,
or the whatever bayou.
Yeah,
living down
the New Orleans bayou, and it's sort of like a. I don't know. Well, kind of a poor people kind of community.
Yeah.
It was like, just because these people were poor, it didn't mean they didn't have anything going for themselves. I mean, yeah, people growing their own crops and whatnot, raising their own animals, livestock. But this girl named Hush Puppy, she just knows it's just her and her dad. And throughout the whole movie, the dad is trying to instill in Hush Puppy that she's got to be a man, that you know, she can't be this weak little. There's an awesome scene in the movie where the kids of that community are in their local schoolhouse, and their teacher she's giving them an awesome lesson. She's like, pretty much, you guys can't be pussies. And, yeah, and she tells them exactly like that. And she shows them this awesome tattoo on her thigh, where the teacher was telling the students that they had to be as brave or as strong as the freaking caveman, yeah, who hunted and gathered for their survival. And so. But yeah, anyways, so that whole theme is getting instilled in Hush Puppy because the father knows he's not going to be around. I mean, and actually immediately he's not going to be around. Mm-hmm. So I mean, so to prepare Hush Puppy for that, he trying to teach his daughter how to be a man. Yeah. which
you know, I mean, I wouldn't even say it, like teaching him how to be a man, just teaching him how to fend for yourself.
Well, yeah,
how to survive.
But he kept on using
that phrase. Yeah, he used that, but he's like
Hush Puppy, you can't cry, you gotta be a man. Which I don't think necessarily a sexist, it's definitely not a sexist thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I thought that was great for you know, for a father to be telling his young, she was 9 year old. Mm-hmm. Teaching his 9 year old daughter that. But the actress who played Hush Puppy, she was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, she was really good.
Yeah, it felt more like a documentary because of just how natural it seemed, just how natural she was.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you have this whole side story of aurochs, these bull like prehistoric bulls.
Yeah.
So there's this whole side story going on with. The polar ice caps melting and it releases this group of Auroraks.
Yeah.
And they're stampeding to somewhere, which definitely connects with the main story of, you know, Hush Puppy and her journey to, you know, to independence or being, you know, strong on her own.
Mm-hmm.
But your thoughts on the movie?
I don't know. Like, I've
been talking about it for a while.
I just finished watching it not so long ago, and I feel like it's a movie that needs to digest a bit before I have a good opinion on it. Like, I'm sure after this conversation, I'll just suck it up and give it a rating, but I don't know. It's trying to do a lot of things, and I think it works for the most part, but there's things that don't work, I think, for me, you know?
Like what?
I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah, I totally understood the sense of the father, you know, just trying to instill in her this whole, you know, be
a man.
You pretty much have to be a strong person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be around, so you have to be a strong person. But I don't know, like, in a way, I felt like he was also a pretty shitty dad. But then again, he's not someone who was really that capable of being a good father and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. The movie has ideas of, I don't know, of like segregation that I don't like, of, you know, like kind of us against them. I mean, it's obviously feeding off this whole Katrina thing, you know, and there's people who live in certain communities and like, you know, in the South, and these places get hit by storms and stuff like that. And, you know, people are told to leave, but there are some people who are like, this is my home, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere. This is where I belong. Like, I'm going to fight for this, which I totally get. But I don't know, in a way I felt like he was in a position where he could probably make an attempt to give this little girl a better life or do something better for this girl. But no, he'd just rather stay in a really crappy situation. You know what I mean? And I know part of that is, you know, like the mother's not around. And so she doesn't have that guidance, and he's,
well, I mean,
I don't know. There's
the whole lack of a mother. Definitely played a huge role in the movie.
I don't know, I mean, from
an active role.
Yeah.
By the third act.
Mm-hmm. I mean, from a character aspect, I think the movie is okay. And even from a narrative aspect, I wouldn't say I really enjoyed the movie while I was watching it, like, because I really didn't. But I did think the girl was really good, and there was plenty of moments in him where I did like the actual filmmaking. I feel like it was really exciting, really, really exciting filmmaking, just the way it was filmed and just the things that they were doing. I felt like were really artful and just trying to do something different, which I really liked. I just think from a narrative, it didn't entirely work for me. I don't know. It definitely does have grand ideas where, you know, it's making comments about polar ice caps melting, and it's making, I mean, a lot of it's about environmentalism and stuff like that, I think.
Well, yeah, and also surviving just with what you need.
Yeah.
The basic essentials, not, you know, extravagance, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that, I don't know, that's not a good, like...
Well, I mean...
That's not sanitary, the way they were living, like...
No, it wasn't.
It's, I mean... Yeah, it's
when you're eating crabs off the floor.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's like that. One thing, like, oh, you live in the wilderness, you know, you feed off the land, but this is they're in a kind of like an urban setting that is starting to become more natural, I guess, but it's not a really safe place to be in, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't. I mean, they're actually evacuated by force. Yeah. But the whole point was, I mean, to just recognize your surroundings and, you know, realize what you need and what you could do with and do without.
Yeah.
What you need and what you could do without.
I mean, I definitely like the ideas that they're bringing to the table about, you know, being able to fend for yourself and being able to, like, you know, we mentioned how other films that we've been watching really are similar, like Life of Pi is like that. The kid who's put in a situation where he has to fend for himself, he has to do what it takes to survive. And I like that aspect of the movie, but I feel like it conflicts with what I think the characters should be doing. But then again, that's not really what the movie's trying to do anyway. It's not trying to get these characters out of a certain situation. Like, the whole mindset, I think, of the people who made the movie is, like, this is our land. This is where this is where we're going to be, no matter what. Even if it's not good for us, this is where we're going to be. And I don't know. It just, that's why I feel really conflicted overall about the movie, and I don't know what to say, whether or not I liked it, you know, even though I did like a lot about it. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, overall, I mean, the big appeal of this movie is the little girl, this 9-year-old girl, first time acting, and just like she fucking hit a fucking home run with this role. I hope she gets recognized. I mean, we are in award season, so I hope she gets a few recognitions. She
that's what I like about like kid actors, like especially ones that are pretty young. Like you could tell they're just being themselves.
Yeah,
and it just comes off so much more genuine that way and natural, which you know acting could tend not to be. So I think it works perfectly. Yeah, her performance is great.
Yeah,
I felt like the dad was kind of a dick, and like he was a dick all day. He was a dick a lot. Like. I don't know. There is a lot that I do like about it. And I do kind of like the third act, where they go off with other kids. They go off to, it's kind of like strip club type place, club and chicken or gator. I don't know. She feeds them gator, I believe, or she feeds her gator.
Oh, yeah. Hush Puppy goes off on the journey. Yeah.
And then I really like the final moments. I mean, once the beast finally get there, you know, I have the these what are they called?
Oroks.
These Oroks. I don't completely get what the movie was trying to say there.
I really
enjoyed the imagery of them, of like throughout the film, you know, they're foreshadowing like them coming. But I didn't understand. I would need some more time to think about it because I don't know what the movie was trying to say with that. And then I did like, you know, one of the final moments where she's with her father again. I thought that was pretty awesome. And her acting was incredible at that moment. But I don't know.
It's one of the movies that, that you watch and it definitely gets you thinking.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily know about what, but it definitely
Did you do any thinking. Research on the movie at all?
A little bit.
I mean, once the credits come up, it says like a film by Court 13. So I looked up what that is, and that's like an organization, like a group of filmmakers and artists who are, you know, trying to create this media. And they feel like if they're trying to tell a story which has a certain setting, that it's very important for them to live in that setting. So they're from New Orleans, like that's their home, you know. So I completely understand the mindset of the people who made the movie. Just, I don't know, like, part of me is saying, you know, there is people out there who want to help others, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they feel like, oh, I don't need help. Like, just, there's people out there, like, groups of people we're in this together, you know? I mean, there's some people who aren't there to help others, but there's people out there who are more than happy to do it. And I feel they're, like, saying, no, like, we don't need your help. Like we'll be fine, and I don't agree with that message necessarily or that mindset anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm all about you know people taking care of themselves because I feel like if you take care of yourself well, that there's going to be positive repercussions not just for yourself but for you know your immediate surroundings and just the huge domino effect it's going to have.
I mean, that's the problem. Like I don't think they were doing a good job taking care of themselves, and I didn't think that was a good environment for a kid. But then again, when you're having these kids being taught how to fend for themselves, and like you said, the whole school scene where they're not like sugarcoating things for kids, you know, kids need to know this stuff. And I definitely like that idea because you know schools do sometimes like
sugarcoat
things and do things at a slow pace. But no, just be straight up with the kids. Tell them how the world is, and they'll be stronger for it, you know?
Hell yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
No,
In a way, the movie feels cold, you know? Where, you know, this character's being really cold towards other characters, I guess.
Hmm.
Well, not cold, just the father. Like, I said character.
The father really bothered
me. I didn't think the father was a douchebag most of the time. But yeah. Then again, I didn't think he was suited for the job he was given necessarily. So.
Well, he kind of knew it too.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was doing his best.
Yeah. But by the end, I kind of came around, and I'm like, yeah, he is, you know, he's doing what he feels he has to do. He doesn't have the tools to be like this great father, but
yeah,
at least he did enough to make this little girl a strong girl, you know? So.
Hush puppy.
Yeah.
I had that one scene where she had quite a few good lines, actually. One of them is when... she's running away from her dad because she blew up her house.
Yeah.
And she's running away and the father's confronting her about it, and she just like, so like it's like, I hope you die, and when you die, I'm gonna sit on your grave and eat birthday cake all by myself. That was hilarious.
The narration at times I didn't really like. I felt like it was a little much.
Do you have narration?
There's a lot of narration. I mean, not a lot, but...
I don't know any
The
narration.
Girl pops up and says things, and I'm...
Oh,
I just,
yeah.
I didn't like the narration. I thought that was awesome. Like the little girl's narration, and...
I really enjoyed the score.
I really enjoyed the score, even though I thought it was a little much at times. It was still a great score, nonetheless, so... Those are my little nitpicks.
She says this line fairly early in the movie, and the movie ends on the same line, where it's like, what does it go? That the stuff that she does now is evidence for the scientists in the future to know that one day there was a hush puppy and she lived in the bathtub with her dad.
I thought that was great how they did that. I mean, a lot of movies do that where they say something and it comes up later, That was a pretty awesome line.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, I did not like the narration, but there were certain lines that were good.
Sweet. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. What do you want to give it?
I'll give it a 3.5.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I go to 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah, because you actually kind of made me realize, it's not a perfect movie, but I mean, I still really love it.
I mean, I think a part of it is just I'm like putting stuff on the movie that shouldn't be brought onto the movie, you know, like the movie has its ideas and it's going with that, and just because I don't agree with those ideas doesn't make it a bad movie necessarily.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, that part of me is fighting with the other side, so it's kind of hard.
All right.
Like I said,
internal conflict. Awesome.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for our reviews. So what we watched? Did you watch anything this week?
I saw a couple movies. I saw The Last Emperor, 1984. Pretty much it's a docudrama about the last crown emperor of China. He was crowned at 3 years old. And I just really enjoyed his journey from a boy king to this fallen dictator who's trying to reclaim his glory, and like he just ends up being a puppet for the Japanese, who had different intentions for allowing him to take back the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie is. It's being told from two different time points, from when he's young, and then they intercut that with scenes, his final scenes when he's older, in jail. It was just a really beautiful film. I mean, I enjoyed the main actor, John Long.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I enjoyed him so much that I looked him up, and I saw that he played this caveman in this movie called Iceman, which is so I immediately saw that movie afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And Iceman I fucking loved. I'm surprised I've never heard about this movie before. It was made in 1982. So these Arctic scientists,
they uncover this frozen caveman, and they're unthawing him, and they find that there's still brain activity, and his body's intact. Everything looks like it's still capable of functioning, and then they find that as they unthaw him, that he has brain activity going on. So like, there's a possibility that they could resuscitate him. They could bring him back,
uh-huh.
And they do. And so they bring back this caveman. Then they put him in his artificial habitat, you know, just to like observe him. Mm-hmm. There's this one scientist. He's fighting for this caveman's right as a human being. It's like you can't do all these invasive experiments on him. Like he's still human. Like, he's the only one that's fighting for his rights. All the other scientists are so curious about how he survived. Like what is it in his body and that preserved him so perfectly intact that he was able to be revived in the future. But what I really enjoyed about this movie is the relationship between the one scientist who was on the caveman side, mm-hmm. and just pretty much their whole relationship on like trying to understand each other. I mean, this caveman had no idea that he was unthawed in the future. He still thinks his home is back out there somewhere, and he just wants to go back to it. So, I mean, I guess I don't want to say too much about the movie because I think it really should be watched. I mean, you never heard of this movie before, right?
No.
But it sounds cool, right?
Yeah
it's really cool. And I really enjoyed how it ended, too, actually. Iceman, yeah. What did you watch?
The only thing I saw, well, I kind of half watched, like, just didn't wasn't really paying too much attention to it. I was on Facebook, and some guy sent Cody, you know, who's been on the podcast before, sent him a movie about what's that crap they're spraying in the air, you know? And it was about a, you know, you see planes in the air, and they're like kind of shrieking across the sky, and they have this.
Yeah.
Kind of fumes coming out the back and leaves a whole streak across the skyline or whatever. So it's about that, and it's about chemtrails, which is supposedly there's these planes that like just are spitting out like debris, like aluminum and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they're doing that, there's these scientists which are geoengineers, because you know the ozone layer is getting screwed up, you know, and eventually it's gonna deteriorate and Earth's going to be way too hot, you know, global warming. So they need to figure out how to make the Earth not so warm, you know. So these chemtrails are made up of aluminum, which basically reflect the sun back. So Earth is not as hot. It's not so hot. So it's kind of about that and how this big conspiracy of like chemtrails and all this crazy crap, and it was pretty crazy, but I was, like I said, I was half paying attention to it. But I mean, then it definitely raised a lot of interesting questions, because not only is, I mean, basically the problem they were having with that is, you know, eventually that aluminum and all that stuff's gonna fall down, and it already fucks up the water supply, and it fucks up our soil, and it's not good for people to be breathing that stuff in. So it's like, it's so harmful. So our population. So basically, it's like it's a conspiracy. Not only are they're doing this without other, you know, without permission. I mean, they're doing it with permission, but they're basically legitimizing it, saying, "Yeah, it's okay because we're trying to do this because this is something that we might eventually have to do." But at the same time, it's incredibly they're doing much more harm. So it's about
that.
And it was, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's just one of those movies where it's trying to instill in people that, you know, we have a voice and we should be saying stuff. But fortunately, we don't really live in a world where people are going to really fight for what they want, you know? Hmm. Like, I think more and more we're getting away from that. Obviously, that's a general statement, but it's not, that doesn't pertain to everybody. Clearly, you know, there's people in other countries who are protesting and dying just for their rights and stuff like that, but I don't know. people are being too complacent. Like, if things are being done against us, then we know, like, would we rather ignore
it? Ignorance is bliss.
Exactly. It's sad, but true. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, everything's got to go eventually anyway. So, you know, just be happy and...
Yeah, you know. But that's not. I don't think that's a good way to look at it. But then again,
no. Like, I mean, no.
I'm not too strong in my convictions. I would say
no.
Something.
I mean, I definitely feel like if you have good ideas that will make some sort of community. Better. Definitely. Act on those. On those ideas, on those passions, if you're really passionate about it, but, you know.
I mean, there's definitely plenty of these movies out there that are trying to get people to act, and I definitely think it does reach people. Just as is it going to reach enough people to make a change? And the cynical side of me, which is usually the prevailing side of me, says no. You know, it's not gonna touch enough people or make
enough people act. I guess it doesn't matter. How many people it touches outside of yourself? I mean, just as long as it, enlivens you to do something.
Yeah,
you know, it's all about your actions, right? Not about the actions of others. I mean, like if you're doing something good, eventually someone will take notice and followed by your example, right?
Probably.
I actually speak louder than words.
But yeah, agreed. And then the movie I actually paid attention to, Cynthia has been wanting to watch. Well, she goes to school for graphic design, and she's been trying. Well, she has this project coming up where she has to focus on a director and kind of like make a brochure and talk about one of his films. And I had showed her one of his older films, or two of his other films.
Who?
Pedro Almodovar. I had already showed. I'd already showed her Talk to Her, which is my favorite of his movies. I've only seen two of his movies. Talk to Her, which I love, and then The Skin I Live In, which came out last year, which I also love. So we finally got around to seeing Lil Vid.
Oh, okay.
With Penelope Cruz. And I definitely enjoyed it. I don't enjoy it as much as the other films, but I don't know. He's a gay guy, and he's kind of known for writing strong female characters, and that's what this movie is. It's a bunch of strong females. I've never been a huge fan of Penelope Cruz, but he writes her as an incredibly strong woman, and she's really pretty, which I never felt that way about her. But the movie, more or less, is just about... It's kind of hard to explain, but the movie's about her and these two other characters, one being her daughter, and the other one being like her sister and stuff. And something happens with her daughter and her husband, who's not the biological father to her, whatever. Not the biological father to Penelope's daughter. And then something happens with that. But the movie is kind of about their late mother kind of popping up. And so it's a ghost who's kind of like popping up and talking to them and living with them.
Sounds creepy.
It's not. I mean, there's a twist there, which is pretty awesome. But I don't know. The movie's set in a small town, so a lot of the themes are like about gossip and, you know, just living in a small town. Everybody knows everybody's business, and everybody pretty much talks about everybody's business, which is a pretty, I don't know. I was about to say it was a pretty Mexican thing, but I mean, it's gossipy. You know, you've seen like
you could see gossip is everywhere.
Gossip is everywhere.
In any language.
That's why I didn't want to say it because it's not a true statement. It's everywhere.
But you made it. But you made it.
Well, I mean, to me, that's what the movie is about, and the movie is really, I don't know, it's about these strong characters and these connections that he had with her mother, and it's mainly about Penelope, who kind of fell away from being close with her mother, and them about kind of repairing that bond that they once had. And it was good.
Is it a good film?
I didn't think it was like superb or anything.
But Pedro Almodovar.
Almodovar, yeah.
He's a pretty good
director. Oh, he's phenomenal. Like I'm sure in the coming weeks I'm going to be talking a lot more about his stuff because we are going to watch more. I went out and just bought Volver because I know I would probably dig it. And I bought Bad Education, which I haven't seen yet, which I know is one of his more experimental films and stuff. But yeah, I've been meaning to fully explore his filmography, and that's what I'm going to try to start doing. So yeah. So yeah, that's one of our shortest episodes yet, I guess, right? You have anything else you want to talk about, Rudy?
No.
He's good. Have you seen any of his films? You saw Talk to Her, didn't you?
What's that about? I don't recall.
It's about this one guy. He's kind of like a caretaker. So he has this woman who's been in a coma, and he's taking care of her, and he's kind of in love with her. Or he was in love with her before, and he befriends this guy whose girlfriend is also in a coma because his girlfriend was a bullfighter. And so they kind of had this whole friendship and everything. I don't know, like, Pedro, I didn't even mention this, I don't know, I haven't, like, seen Pedro's films, like, it's like a soap opera, it's like an elevated soap opera, like, all his movies are about plot, and, like, it kind of going crazy places, and crazy twists and stuff like that, but the acting is so good in these movies, and the actual filmmaking is so good, so it's basically like a extremely elevated soap opera, and that's what he does, and it's awesome, like, it's really like, fun to watch.
Illegitimate children popping up. It's like, oh, you're my daddy, or freaking, I don't know what else happens soap operas that are like kind of crazy, ridiculous. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of soap opera, but yeah. I guess I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy twists and stuff like that. It's not too heavy on the melodrama, but there's a little bit of that, which is what soap operas are known for. But that's what his movies feel like that to me. But in the best way possible. So he's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. Well, if you want to email us, thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. We have a Facebook and Twitter. Well, I'm not even mentioning Twitter because I never post shit on there. We have a Facebook page. So if you want to follow us on there, we do live stream the episodes every week. So if you want to watch us instead of waiting for the episodes to be posted, follow us on Facebook and, or like us on Facebook, and you'll be able, and you'll know whenever that good stuff is going on. So, yeah. Awesome. This has been episode number 15. Feels weird how short it was, but yeah.
Yeah. But, you know.
It's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, it happens.
Alrighty, well, guys, take care.
Bye-bye. Forever.